welcome to Victory Church on the Rock, Grand Prairie. Joining us with today's message is Pastor Charlotte Quist.
And so today we want to just take a few minutes. A few is a loose term. I'm going to take some minutes this morning, and we're going to get into the Word. We're going to do a bunch of scriptures today, and particularly talk about one passage of generational blessing. And so I really want to encourage you, if you were at home today with kiddos, if there's anything, we've already prayed peace over them, but if there's a way you can entertain them so as parents you can engage today, please try. I believe that God is just a word for us that is for this season, that is His heart for us, and we want to tap into it. We are very conscious today, actually. We honor mothers. We honor the family unit with everything that we've got, but we also know, you know, even in our church, we've got several single dads. And so we, on purpose, we honor moms, we honor women, but we honor the family, and we honor those that are serving children, those that are serving their generations. And I was, Wayne and I were talking the last couple of days, and don't hate me for this, but I'm just, I know that this season that we're going through is brutally hard, and for some harder than others. How we're walking through it, what we're encountering is difficult. Not being in church. I mean, I love that we can gather online like this. It would be so much nicer to be able to just hug everybody today and be together and celebrate together. We will get there though. But you know, what we've been talking about is how, honestly, it appears to us anyway, our church family is healthier now than it was 2 months ago, which is really bizarre. And so for those that are like freaking out and like, oh, we just need to get everybody back together again, we do, and we will, and it's going to happen. But we need to like sometimes look and see the stuff that's happening behind the scenes. And what I'm seeing is family units, like actual biological family units, that are pulling together, that are spending time in the Word together, that are spending family time, that priorities are being made right. And I'm seeing our spiritual family, the God family, the Victory family that God has put together. You guys are on purpose choosing to connect. You're choosing to love each other. You're choosing to serve each other. You're choosing to give and find ways to connect. And really, this is a good thing for us to find the place of depth where we choose to love one another. We choose to honor one another. This is worth it. And so, you know, I believe that we need to see what God is doing and actually, like appropriate it, meditate on it, lean into it so we experience the fullness. I'm calling today's message the family feud. Which is, you know, sometimes the holiday thing brings up stuff, right? It brings up all kinds of issues. I mentioned a little bit earlier, those who maybe had a loss this year, this is the first year without a mom or, you know, something like that. It can be heart-wrenching. If you're estranged from family members, if there's a breakdown in communication there, it can be super difficult. If, you know, maybe as a mom, your kids are not in relationship with you right now, it can be heartbreaking. So it can bring up all kinds of stuff. And there's a thing that can happen where we kind of want to avoid holidays like that because of the pain or the things that might be stirred up. But I want to address today what God says about family, what God says about covenant relationships in the generations, how He does blessing, and why there is an attack against it. And so right now, where the enemy, I believe, has separated or is trying to physically separate people and families and people groups are separated, God's family is finding a way. And you'll see that on everything I post online. I always hashtag family finds a way. Family finds a way to make it happen. Family finds a way to connect. Family finds a way to express love. Family is more concerned about the covenant than the control. And so we go after what is a covenant relationship and see God work in it. We know that when we look at the family structure of the earth right now, there has been a breakdown in the previous generation, the previous 40 years. We kind of came out of the Woodstock era and fell down the rabbit hole where families have just flown apart. And in in nations around the world, what has been a solid family unit has been sacrificed on the altar of self-promotion and desire and financial gain. And I need to live my dream and live my best self. And we've blocked and blown up all gender lines and all gender roles, and how we connect with one another has been just, you know, annihilated. And so in this season, I believe this is one of the undercurrents of what God is doing. He's helping us see the value of the family unit. He's helping us see the value of the generations. He's helping us see the value of how seniors bless the middle generation, bless the younger generation, bless the children and your children and your children and your children's children. But if we lose a generation, the blessing gets tied up. And so we want to look at what God says about family today. And it's kind of a big deal. And there's some really great scriptures about it. So I'm going to give us a bunch just to get us going. If you've got your notebooks handy, which if you're a regular with Victory Church, you do, because taking notes is a big deal. It's good for us to be able to go back and study. By the way, on that note, if you missed Tuesday night's Bible study, George Sarcode brought a word that was just fire. So you need to get back to that one. It is awesome teaching. Particularly, there's a prophetic word for Alberta kind of in the middle of what he's teaching, and it's so good. And then Friday Fire this week as well was just full of God's truth for us. So please make sure that you're hooking in with what we've got online. So Lord, we pray that as we go into your word today, that you would unpack it for us. We thank you that the Bible is the word of God. And so we pray that we would hear it today as your word, that we would hear it as you speaking to us, God, you breathing life on us. Lord, we pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would unpack for us what we need to hear today, what we need to understand, what we need to lay hold of to experience the very best that you have for us, God. We give you the praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Okay, just a couple quick scriptures to lay the foundation of some of the things that God says about family. The obvious one that is every Mother's Day verse, Proverbs 31. And it's a big deal because it's talking about godly women. It says in verse 28 to 30, it says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." And so this verse is telling us that a woman who is a God-fearing woman, who lives her life, who serves her generation, you know, it talks about King David served the purposes of God in his generation. A woman who serves the purposes of God in her generation will be praised. She will be elevated. She will excel in what it is she's doing. It's a God-designed thing. It means that God puts his favor upon, he puts his blessing upon a woman who serves her family from the place of honoring the Lord. Proverbs 10:1 says, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is grief to his mother." So God's wisdom, a wise son, wisdom is the counsel of God, the thoughts of God, the methods of God. The person who lives in that, a son who lives in that place of God's wisdom, God's thoughts, God's counsel, actually makes a glad father, or there's a generational blessing. Both generations are blessed because there's a son or a daughter who is following the wisdom of God. It blesses up and it blesses down. Are you with me? This is how God works. Generationally, we bless up and we bless down. It's meant to be not just we look down, and we discard those who are before us. No, there is a blessing up and down that happens here. Ephesians 6:1-3. Quoting the Ten Commandments, and it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." So God has actually put in place this safety net. He says, if you will honor your father and mother, you treat them with the love and the respect that God has put in you. And you honor them, you serve them the way God intends for you to serve them. You love them the way God intends for you to love them. And I know that that looks different depending on brokenness of relationships, but if we do what God asks us to do, It unlocks blessing, that we would do well on the earth, that we experience the blessing of God, and we would live long on the earth. So God is caring not just about how we raise our children, but how children treat their parents. Blessing goes up and down. Honor goes up and down. There's a flow that's meant to be happening, and it's God's design. It's how God has actually designed for things to flow. Deuteronomy 7:9, and this is what we just sang. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those that love him and keep his commandments. So generational blessing, God came up with this. This wasn't people going, God, if we do good stuff, would you bless us? No, God is the one who said that he would bless even to 1,000 generations. If somebody will take a stand and in their generation serve the purposes of God, the trickle-down effect goes on and on and on. So what we've just come through, I honestly believe we've come through this long period, decades, of a generation that has chosen to remove God from society. Remove God from function. Remove God from how we do daily life. It used to be whether people had any personal relationship with God or not, you went to church on Sunday. That's what respectable people did. You go to the house of God. You at least pray the Lord's Prayer. You at least know simple things. Everybody carried around the little Gideon's Bible that you got in elementary school. Somebody gave you. It was of value. Every family had a family Bible. There was something that at least honored God. That was the trickle down. That was the fruit of the previous generations that were sold out for him. And so we've come through this generation that has gone out of its way to strip God out of everything. Strip God out of our schools, strip God out of our society, how we operate. We do everything on Sunday. It's not that important to be in church. It's not that important to, you know, now people are freaking out. We can't even go to church. Well, you couldn't 6 months ago either, right? Because you were busy with sports, with activities, with working 24/7, with doing all this stuff that you put on yourself. And so now government's saying it, and we suddenly feel this rise up on the inside to push back. This is a good thing. I'm telling you, I don't think that the struggles of being alone right now are a good thing, but what God is stirring up is a hunger for what should have been there all along. I think this is awesome. So God is saying that there is something that in this generation, how we respond to this opportunity we've been given this pause. And in this house, we've been saying for 2 years now, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There is a global pause on right now. Globally, we are being asked the question, will you serve fear? Will you serve tyranny? Will you serve control? Will you serve panic? Do you serve money? Do you serve self? We will decide in this season, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will come out of this richer, and our generations and their generations and their generations will be blessed based on our responses right now. This is a very big deal. Genesis 22, 16 to 18. This is God's promise to Abraham. He says, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemy. That's huge. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. See, it's not just me and my life. And I think that's one of the lies that we've grown up with in my generation. One of the lies we've grown up with is it's my life, my choice. I can do what I want. But through me, the generations behind me will or will not experience the goodness of God. They will or will not experience the blessing of heaven. And so here God promises Abraham that the nations of the earth would be blessed because he obeyed. And so there was like a next generation release that came down, a next generation blessing. It's why Isaac got to just walk into the blessing, because Abraham was faithful. And so right now, I believe God's giving us this window to decide, how do I feel about God and to choose to sow into the generations to come. For some, this homeschooling thing has just been an utter nightmare. But do you know what you're learning? You're learning who your kids are. You're having this window to sow into them. I remember thinking, you know, 6 to 9 months ago, like, dear Lord, with the content that's being taught to our kids, the stuff about identity, the stuff about who they are, I don't think anybody should be going to public school. Like, I remember thinking that it's so twisted. How will we ever get this generation back again? Because if you have grown up with an ideology, it becomes your truth. It becomes what you think is, and the truth gets overrun by your truth. And so now God has given us this window. It's going to be like 6 months or so, 5 months, that kids are out of the public system. Parents, this is your window. This is your window to speak destiny and life and purpose and identity. You're going to put in stuff into them that will never be stripped out. It's going to be a seed that goes in and takes root and becomes life in them. This is a gift from God. Grandparents speaking into the kids, children blessing their parents, blessing their grandparents. This is a gift from God. And so God, literally, we can see through these things. Now, here's what I want you to catch. God instituted family. It's his design. Family is not a man-made thing. It's not something we came up with. Family is God's design, and God instituted family as a blessing delivery system. That's what the family is. It is a blessing delivery system. How do we know that? We know that because God blessed Abraham and said, in your seed, the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. He's saying there is going to be blessing that comes through you, which we know actually is Jesus. There's blessing that comes through your family lines. That's how I'm choosing to do it. And the blessing of God falls to 1,000 generations, his covenant of mercy to 1,000 generations. God puts families together to release blessing. Now, what we need to understand is that this is natural family and it's also spiritual family. God put spiritual families together to release blessing. Family is a blessing delivery system. If you can catch that, I mean, this is the idea of how God has put together even our church community right now. I love that he gave us the heads up, and we've been working on family for the last year and a half. We've been sowing into the concept of family, trying to understand it as a church. And I truly believe if we had not been doing that, we would be coming through this season and we would have blown up. We would have lost track of people. We would have, and maybe there's a few that we're still missing and we're trying to catch everybody, but we are healthier now than ever. Why? Not because we're so smart, but because God told us ahead of time to pursue the family. Why? Because he wants to release blessing. It's not about control. It's because he wants to release blessing. Family is about covenant relationships. It's about mutual honor. It's about the choice to love and be loved. It's about laying down life for one another. It's the dynamic of a delivery system. And I can tell you how this works in the natural for me right now is that even though we're not spending a lot of time with our kids or our grandkids, I'm starting to get impatient with that and breaking the rules just a hair, just confession. But not nearly as much as I would like to. And we're working on creative ways to, you know, you hunt for ways to connect with the kids. There's always a reason to drop off Timbits. I'm buying bubbles. We just, like yesterday, I just had to buy, you know, Mr. Potato Head things and whatever. Just, I have to find a way to plant a seed. I have to find a way to connect. My heart is drawn. My heart is pulled towards my children and my grandchildren, towards my mom, towards our family biologically. Spiritually speaking, same thing. I find that I wake up, you know, in the morning and somebody's on my heart. I just have to pray for that person. I have to drop a little text. You know, are you doing okay today? You're just on my heart today. I'm receiving messages like that where people are like, you're just really on my heart today. I just want you to know I pray for you. I'm standing with you today. That back and forth, that's covenant relationship. And it's the way God releases blessing. I think it's a radical testimony that in this house, as far as we know, nobody is doing without. And if you're struggling financially, please contact the church. There is a fund that others are sowing into. There is enough for everybody. We are literally living Book of Acts right now. Those who have are giving extra. Those who have not are receiving, and both are blessed. This is the release system that God has planned for us. It's a delivery system. It is a principle of God's kingdom that's the natural and the supernatural. God has given us promises, even as we come into the family of God, that we can see the family connection releases the blessing. Let me give you an example. John 1:12. Right off the bat, when we're talking about Jesus, it says, "But as many as have received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." So to as many as have received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. It does not say to as many as have received him, he gave the right to become members of his team or part of his community or subjects in his kingdom. When we receive Jesus, he makes us children, part of a family. That is the release that happens. We become partakers of a family line that is connected, and we receive the blessing of salvation. So here, let's look at that just a little bit bigger. Romans 8:14-17. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." So this is what we just talked about. If we receive Jesus, we become the children of God. Prior to that, we're the creation of God. We become sons and daughters of God by receiving him. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption." Well, why isn't just enough that I'm on the same team? Or I get to hang around. No, God put into place the spirit of adoption because we need to become part of a family to access the blessing. The blessing is part of it. And here's how I know. "But you have received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And here we go. "And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. If indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together." This is telling us that as when we become children, when we enter the family, we can access the blessings. We become heirs. There is a different thing that happens with families. It's, you know, different access, different openings. You see that in, you know, when somebody's in the hospital, you can't get in, you can't get information unless you're a family member. Somebody's on an airline flight, you can't get information about the flight unless you're a family member. You can't do other people's banking or whatever unless you're a family member. There is a benefit to being family. You get to tie into a next level blessing, and God wants us to partake of that with him. So if we become sons and daughters of God, we're part of the family line. We can receive the family blessing. We are joint heirs with Christ and heirs with one another within the family. So what happens when the family gathers together and puts a draw on the blessing? Not only are we blessed, but our children and our children's children and our children's children's children. I believe in this season, as the church arises, we just sang this at the end here, there's an army of dry bones starting to rise. There is such an anointing on that phrase right now. The dry bones, those things that have been dead, the people that have been hanging on the fringes. Why have we come through a season where people have decided it was okay to serve God in isolation and not be part of a church family? Because the deception of the enemy has been trying to block the blessing that is intended for this generation. And so now we actually want it. Now, instead of saying, "I don't think I need to be part of a church," now we're desperate to be part of a church. Come on, I hope the Sunday that we're able to be open here, you guys are lined up for half an hour outside, just loving on each other, just ready to run into the house of God. God. But until we're that hungry, let us dig in and understand what the family blessing is. Let us want it. Let us choose to be sons and daughters of God, lovers of one another, pursuers of the covenant relationship, to release the blessing that this generation is craving. This is the time. I am so excited about what God is doing in the church. That's what keeps me from being super concerned about what's happening with the vaccine. I don't really care. I know what God will tell me to do. I know God will tell you what to do. But I'm more concerned about the fact that a generation is being awakened to service. That's a big deal. Psalm 113, 7 to 9. He raises the poor out of the dust. He lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes of people, and he grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. This verse tells us that there's no matter what your natural situation even is, God will put you in a family, in a kingdom family, where even though you might even be without children in the natural, God gives you children to love. There is a place of blessing that comes when the family comes together. It's not just a biological thing. It's a spiritual concept. And so we want to lay hold of that today. Why I was talking about the concept of the family feud, our title today, is because if family is God's blessing delivery system, then it is the most opposed relationship in our lives. If family is the thing that God has intended to release, he intended to release Jesus through the seed of Abraham. The enemy knew that right from the beginning in Genesis. There was when Adam and Eve sinned and the curse came down, when the brokenness came down, there was going to be enmity between the woman and her husband. And there was going to be this thing that happened within families that the enemy was going to try and access. But God has overcome this. The curse is under the blood of Jesus now. The curse has been destroyed. And so we live on the other side of this. That means families can be supernatural. Naturally blessed. Marriages can be supernaturally blessed. Parents and children can be supernaturally blessed. And as a spiritual family, we can be supernaturally blessed. And the enemy hates that. What we're talking about is like a hose. It's a conduit. So if family is God's blessing delivery system, then it also becomes the enemy's cursing system. And that is why it is opposed. We need to understand that, and we need to know that is why it needs to be guarded. God will use this to release his blessing. So the enemy, if you look at it as a garden hose, you can either hook it up to water that good water comes out of, or you can put anything down that same hose. It can be the conduit that you can pour down antifreeze, you can pour down gasoline, you can pour down whatever you want. You're just using the same hose. But God intends to bring refreshing and life and blessing through this delivery system of family. It must be guarded. A feud, like a family feud, a feud is a prolonged and bitter quarrel or dispute. That is what we are living in. The enemy of our souls has this prolonged and bitter quarrel or dispute with God. And so he tries to engage it through the resource, through the tube of family. He releases. And so this is why God tells us, I set before you today life and death, blessing and cursing. The same, the conduit is there. The format is there. The delivery system is there. But we get to choose life or death, blessing or cursing. We get to choose whether family is a positive or a negative. And I just want to release this word over you today. I believe some of you are unable or have been unable to fully engage the family of God because your natural family has hurt you in the past. What you grew up with has damaged your ability to engage the fullness of what God has for you in this season. And I just want to declare a release over you today in Jesus' name. What the enemy meant for evil, God will take and work it for good. If you will let that join up to another power source, if you will let the supply line be connected to something different, God wants to set you free in the area of family. And when you are joined up, when there is pure, clean water flowing through that delivery system, nothing else can be in there. So your family, your natural family can't harm you anymore. When the power of God is flowing flowing through there, the enemy loses his ability to penetrate your life with the same thing. God is in the space that the enemy has been using. Generational curses are broken by the release of generational blessing. It is time for us to tune in to a different power source. This is God's plan for us in this season. Are you with me, family? And this is why we're going to keep saying family. We're going to keep calling this church a family. Why? Because family will contend for one another. We're going to take a chunk of time here just as we finish today to read the story, not the whole thing. I'm going to summarize for you the story of Ruth. The story of Ruth and Naomi, which is a generational covenant blessing that we see very similar to the idea of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Only what I think is really fun about it, because we know women are more verbal, you actually get the dialogue in Ruth. In Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you get their, they kind of hint at what probably was said or done. Ruth and Naomi, it's like reading a novel. You get the actual conversations, which is so fun. So you can see what they're walking through. So let's just flip open to Ruth. Right in behind your big ones, you got Joshua, Judges, Ruth. It's just a few pages long, but it's the story of redemption. It's the story of turning curses into blessing, which is a big deal. Super excited about this. The idea at the beginning, if you aren't familiar with the story, it's worth spending some time on today and pressing into. But the idea is there's this woman and her husband, Naomi and Elimelech, and they have two sons. There's a famine in the land. They're Israelites. There's a famine in the land. And so they go to the land of Moab to get away from the famine. There's something that has chased them out of the land. So they go to this new place. Their sons both marry Moabite women. Along the course of time, Naomi's husband dies, and both of her sons die. So it's a hardship. It's a place of pressing. It's a place of brokenness. And so in this, we see Naomi, basically, she knows she's got nothing left in that land. She's being moved because of brokenness into a new location. She's being driven back to her land. Now, I just want to say prophetically, I think this is significant. Some of us have in the past, we have gone through life and we have made decisions that have pulled us away from God's very best for us. And we have ended up in another land that is satisfied for a season, but at the long term, it has left us broken and empty. And there is a season right now where it is time to come home. It's time to go back to the place where your blessing exists. It's time to come back to the place where your family is. It's time to come back to the place where God is standing with open arms waiting for you to return. And so Naomi is in this moment where she decides she has to go home. She has to go back to at least what she knows, but she is broken. And the concept that we see at the beginning, chapter one, Naomi's telling her daughter-in-law, she's like, thank you for the kindness that you have shown to me. And the kindness that you have shown to me, I pray that the same kindness God would show to you and to your families. And the word kindness there, actually, you see it, for instance, in Ruth 1:8, it means loyal love. It means a covenant that keeps its promises. So she's saying to them, because your love towards me was loyal, because you kept a covenant, a promise towards me when you didn't have to, I pray that God would do the same thing for you. These are women who have come, they don't know God yet. They're foreigners. They're from a pagan tradition, pagan religion, pagan families. But she says, I pray that God's kindness would be shown to you in the same way. In other words, that God's loyal love, that his covenant that keeps its promise of love would be poured out upon you, that his faithfulness, the promise of his faithfulness would be poured out upon you. And so she sends them off and she tells them to, you know, it's time for you to go home. You're young enough that you can get married again and have kids and whatever. And Ruth 1:16-18 is where Ruth answers. She's saying basically, I don't want to go back. I want to stay with you. I want to go where you go. And so she says in verse 16, she says, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. And your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will also be buried. The Lord do so also to me, and more also if anything but death parts you and me. This is to her mother-in-law. Huh. This is not what we have learned about family loyalty in our generation, is it? She says, as if anything but death parts you and me. Verse 18, when she saw that she was determined to go with her, when Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said she stopped speaking to her. Now, other translations say that, you know, she realized the matter was already settled, so she stopped talking. But she stopped talking to her is this interesting thing, because Naomi is going through her own personal stuff. This is not a word super enjoying this relationship. But Ruth has just said, your God is going to be my God. In other words, whether we are necessarily biological family or not, I am covenanting together with you to serve the same God. And so we are family forever. I'm covenanting to serve the same God. We're going to be family. That's what the church community is. We may not, like, we're not married to each other, but we serve the same God. And so we decide to be then family. And so Ruth decides to be in this family. She has an out, legit. She could have gone, but she decides not to. Then verse 19 to 22, it says, now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? Like, the people came out, they're like, yay, you're home, family. It's so good to see you. And Naomi pulls this one. She says to them, is this Naomi? Verse 20, but she says to them, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. So Mara literally means bitterness. She's a little broken, to say the least. Verse 21, I went out full and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you even call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. And so obviously there's this bitterness. We can see that there's brokenness. There's something going on. Stuff happens in families where brokenness happens sometimes. People aren't always the easiest to love in their brokenness. She hasn't seen these people for who knows how long, like quite a while, years and years. And when they come out to celebrate her, she just spews bitterness on them. Do you not think that Ruth was tempted to go, oh, my bad, I'm going home after all. Like, maybe this was a poor idea, because she's expecting that Naomi's going to introduce her to the new family. She's chosen to serve this new God. I'm going to expect that you're going to introduce me to the family, but clearly you are a bad wingman here. This is not going to go well long term. But Ruth sticks with her and rides it out. And so Ruth chooses love. She chooses to lay down her life for somebody else who was obviously hurting. Big deal. Chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, let me go into that field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. So here there was this connection into the blessing. There was a family blessing that their family line had. Naomi actually couldn't access it anymore. If we read the first chapter and she's going through this, like, I'm too old to have children. And even if I wasn't too old to have children, would you even wait for them so that you could have your own children? Obviously, everything's gone for me. I have no blessing. I'm just going to be a widow and childless and, you know, just go back home to die kind of thing. She's got this. She basically has not been able to access the blessing. But when they go back, Ruth starts to see it. And God gives Ruth this, like, insight. What about this guy? Could I go into this field? And she's not asking for anything more than just to gather enough food to live on. Could I go and just gather grain? But God's put a spark in her. He's put a desire in her. He's put a dream in her. We could talk about this like in Joel, where it's your young men see vision and your old men dreams. She's got a vision that's stirring up, something that's there. Because here's this guy that's obviously part of the family line. Maybe it would be okay. So Naomi blesses it. And there's this thing that begins to happen. So Naomi blesses Ruth to go. And she goes and starts picking up grain. And Ruth gets noticed by this guy. And so this is, okay, here's something you need to know. This book is totally a love story, but it's not just a love story between a man and a woman. So there's a lot of women who read this book and go, I just need a Boaz. No, you don't. You need a Naomi. Surprise! Who knew? There's a family blessing that's different than you thought it was, but that's where the Boaz comes from sometimes. It's living in the blessing of God and the family anointing. So that was just a free one for everybody who's single out there. Okay, let's read verse 10 to 12, because what has happened now is Boaz actually takes notice of her and he's like, man, this is a special girl. We need to make sure that she gets extra food, that people take care of her. And then when he talks to her, he begins to introduce himself and he calls her in. Verse 10, it says, so she fell on her face, bowed to the ground and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I'm a foreigner? She might as well have said, since I'm nobody. I have nothing. I am a foreigner. I have no possessions. I'm not married. I have nothing. I'm a nobody. Why would you even take notice of me? And Boaz answered to her and get this. Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. He doesn't say you've come under my wings for refuge. He says you've come under the Lord's wings for refuge. He says, you know what I love about you? You love your mother-in-law. You are actually laying your down for the way you're taking care of your family member, the way you are serving. I not only notice that, but I believe that the blessing of God will be released to you. He declares over her a generational blessing that isn't even, she shouldn't have access to, but she does because of how she's serving the family, how she's putting a draw on the family line, on the family blessing. This is incredible. So go down with me to chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. And Naomi, see, here's the thing. The blessing goes up, the blessing comes down. Ruth doesn't even know what to do with this. So it's like, here's this guy says that it's okay for me to glean in the field. I know he's a relative of ours. He's obviously wealthy, but that doesn't really mean anything to me. I don't know what to do about this. The mother-in-law. See, old men will dream dreams. Young men will dream visions. The older woman has the wisdom of time and she can dream a dream. See, you got to understand, Naomi has been cut out of the family blessing. Her husband died. Her sons died. She's been cut out of the family blessing. But in this moment, God begins to awaken in her a dream again, life again. And she says in chapter 3, verse 1, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? In other words, I'm going to do what it takes so that you are blessed. Ruth's been spending this time sowing into her mother-in-law, and now the mother-in-law goes, I'm going to do what I can to bless you. We see this opening of the conduit of blessing that God has intended, how he wants to release the good stuff, and we see her sow back in. Can I not secure blessing that it would be well with you? Now, Boaz, whose young women were with you, is he not our relative? In fact, he's winnowing barley tonight in the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself and put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. And then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies and you shall go in, uncover his feet and lay down and he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do it. What I see in here is this thing. Ruth has this vision come up on the inside. I think if I go to this guy's field, I think I can get enough food for us to survive on. And as she's serving, the guy whose field it is looks at her and he goes, I can see how you are honoring your mother-in-law. I can see the blessing. And you've decided to come under the blessing of God. And the God of heaven is going to pour out his blessing on you. And so vision begins to rise up on the inside of her, but she doesn't really know what to do about it. So she goes home and she tells her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law has the dreams of her youth begin to stir up again. And she says, I know exactly how you activate that blessing. I know exactly how you put a had drawn it. I can't do it, but you can do it. And so I'm going to give you the tools to do what you need to do so that you can unlock the blessing. And so she's not selfish about it. She decides to step out of her bitterness and move into blessing. And the two women together come into this place of accessing God's blessing. And what happens? We know the rest of the story. Boaz actually decides that he's totally in love with her and he's going to redeem her. He's going to bring her into the family. He's going to do what it takes and restore the family blessing. And then it says in chapter 4, verse 13 to 17, it says, so Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception and she bore him a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, what? Ruth just had a baby. The women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, that may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher in your old. Wait a minute, this is Ruth's kid. Blessing goes up and down. Generational legacy goes up and down. There's, when we open that conduit of what God has intended for us to walk in, God anoints it and it begins to go up and down. Verse 15, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher in your old age for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. And the neighbor women came to him saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. And he is the father of Jesse, the father of David. That is King David. Ruth is one of just a handful of women in Jesus's lineage. She actually became, see, she had nothing. I'm telling you, here's a woman, here's a Moabitess woman who marries a foreigner, the Israelite man who came into her land. She marries him. He dies. His father dies. Everybody's gone. She's left a widow. She's left alone. She has nothing. And so what does she do? She pursues blessing by honoring family, by going after choosing a God who is the real and true God. And deciding, because God is the God of Naomi, I'm going to serve Naomi, because by honoring her, I'm honoring God. And by doing that, she unlocks for herself a blessing. Now, Naomi, who is also without blessing, her blessing line has been cut off. She's part of an inheritance, but the inheritance has been cut off. Her husband is dead. Her children are dead. And she has nothing. But by choosing to sow into Ruth, by honoring her, by giving her the tools to know what to do, by connecting her into the family, by teaching her how to serve and how to honor, something shifts and Naomi walks back into the blessing of God. By honoring Ruth, Naomi unlocks her blessing. By honoring Naomi, Ruth unlocks her blessing. Not only that, because this family line is broken, what was the promise of God, who was Jesus, coming through the promise of Abraham to 1,000 generations, was stopped right there until somebody decided to honor the family, until somebody decided to do what was right in the eyes of God and make space for the blessing of God that had been prophesied to 1,000 generations. That blessing was reactivated by one young woman's decision to honor family, to honor the Lord, to do what was right in his eyes. See, the blessing of God flows through the conduit of family. I'm telling you, natural family, spiritual family, it is worth fighting for. It is strongly opposed because it's worth fighting for. Let me give you 5 quick points as we quit here. Number one, just for our summary. Number one, family is God's delivery system for divine blessing. It is God's delivery system for divine blessing. Number two, family requires honor. It requires honor, and honor is not about preference. Honor is not about feelings. It's not about emotions. It's not about the past. The word tells us to give honor where honor is due. It tells us to honor your father and mother, that it would go well with you, that you would live a long life. Number three, it might not be easy. I'm telling you, Naomi was not a cup of tea. That life, I mean, I'm sure Ruth was like, oh my gosh, what have I done? Several times while somebody's walking around going, I've changed my name to bitterness. I'm just bitter all the time. You know, it's not easy, but Ruth served and honored and gave into that, poured into that, loved into that. Number four, honoring family is a way to honor God. And again, I want to say it's honor goes up and honor goes down. It's both directions. We honor our parents, our mother and father's parents. We honor our children. Naomi had to decide to come into this. And number five, family honor unlocks God's family blessing. Family honor unlocks family blessing. It is God's design. So when we decide to honor, I've been hurt, I've been wounded, I've been whatever. Absolutely. We all have in some way at some time. But when we choose honor, we choose to celebrate and we choose to embrace God's system of blessing. We honor him and we unlock the blessing of heaven. I want to just reiterate one more time, because that conduit is there, it will either be utilized by the blessing of God or the cursing of the enemy. It will either be utilized by life or death. It will either bring about good things and joy and fulfillment, or will bring about torment and suffering and sadness. So I want to just speak a blessing over us today as we finish, and then the team's going to take us out with a song. But I just want to pray over family relationships, biological and spiritual. I'm telling you, there is a time that God is using right now for restoring relationships within your natural families and within the church family, within the body of Christ. This is a time where God is restoring relationships. He's putting in us a desperation for one another, a hunger for one another. And that doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to be able to get together and everybody just hug on everybody and cry on everybody and whatever. Your natural family, you know, issues might not make room for that right now, but there are ways to honor. There are ways to love. There are ways to bless. Find them. Honoring honors God. Blessing blesses the heart of God. We want to make sure that we open that conduit within the church family. Are we perfect? Oh, my word, no. We make mistakes. We say stupid things. We do dumb stuff. We accidentally hurt people. We are not flawless, but we're families and we're children of God. Co-heirs with Christ, joint heirs with one another. Family chooses love. Family chooses forgiveness. Family chooses compassion. Family chooses to look past what is the obvious and covenant relationship instead. Pursuit. So God, today, I thank you for the gift of family. I thank you, God, that from the very first people on the earth, you took Adam and Eve and you made them a family. God, you gave them the ability to bring forth life. God, that you would bless, that you would fill the earth with it. God, I thank you for the example of Abraham, who you spoke to him, and we live in the blessing that you promised him. God, I thank you that in his seed was the gift of Jesus, who we can receive, who we can live in relationship with, God. I thank you, Lord, for the examples throughout the word of families, all of them broken, all of them damaged in some way, but blessing was released over every family that honored you. So God, today I pray for every broken relationship. I pray for those that are estranged from family members right now. And God, I pray that you would speak to their hearts, that you would minister comfort to them, peace to them. And Lord, that you would give them a way. You would show them how to be able to sow into family, how to sow into the people that you have connected them to in some way, even if it's just in prayer. in love. But God, I thank you that today we take that conduit that's intended for blessing and we put it where it belongs, God. We take it off the lips of the enemy who's been speaking lies and destruction and brokenness. God, we remove it from there. And God, we give back that conduit to you. Lord, that we choose one another, that blessing begins to flow. God, I thank you for the spiritual family. God, I thank you for this church family. I thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl who you have covenanted together in this place. And God, I just speak a release of your blessing, God. Help us to know how to love one another more, how to serve one another better, how to honor bigger and stronger, God, how to connect ourselves with that flow, God, that you show us how to love, that even in the honoring, even in the loving, God, we find ourselves hidden under the protection of the Almighty. God, that we would step into the blessing that you have planned for this season. God, that even as we go through this time of difficulty, we would be drawn together as family, heart to heart, purpose to purpose, honoring one another, preferring one another, and pursuing our dad together. Father, we pray that your heart would flow in each home, over each person right now, over every place of past brokenness. God, we give those places of brokenness to you today, once and for all. Whatever has gone on behind us is behind us. Lord, we love because you first loved us. We forgive because you forgive us. We choose mercy because you are merciful towards us. God, help us to release it. We want to walk in your blessing and the fullness of your plan. God, I speak a outpouring of your favor over your kids today as we make these choices, as we release, and we give you the praise for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this message from Victory Church Grand Prairie. You can stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by using @VictoryChurchGP. If you have any questions, would like to access our online resources, or would like to sow into this ministry, you can visit us at www.victorygp.com. You can also text to give. Just text 587-207-4387 and follow the prompting. Thanks again for joining us at Victory GP. Reach, teach, mobilize.